starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." So I've entitled the message, Willingly Ignorant. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom tonight. Guide us as we go through your word together. And teach us. We commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Peter, remember, wrote 2 Peter primarily to warn Christians about false doctrine, to warn Christians, to help them to be prepared. And this passage shows us that the Bible says in the last days. Well, we're in the last days here in verse 3. We are in the last days. And he says one of the things that you'll see in the last days will be scoffers. Walking after their own lust. Scoffers who would scoff at prophecy, scoff at the Word of God, scoff at God. And we see it all around us. This is what the world does now. If you would look over in Jude 17, just right over to the right a little bit, right before Revelation, verse 17, it says, "But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time." So another word that God uses here is the word mockers. Scoffers and mockers in the last days. Well, those days are here. And so one of the things that Peter's warning us about is these last days would come. And when they came, people would be scoffing at the word of God, scoffing at God. And of course, we know that the last days are talked about in the Timothys as well. Let's just quickly look at those passages so we can look at the whole package. 1 Timothy 4. So one of the things we see here is that men will be denying the existence of God, scoffing at the prophecies of the Bible, saying that that's one of the proofs that the Bible must not be true. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But another thing we see here in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving," and so forth. So we see here a denial of faith, of the faith, a denial of Christian liberty. And then if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. For of this sort are they, having such a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." That's quite a list. And then over in 2 Timothy 4, just one chapter over, verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So Peter said, in the last days, we are in the last days. All these passages we just read are perfect descriptions of where we find ourselves right now in the Laodicean church age. "There would be scoffers in the last days saying," go back to our passage, what will they be saying? "Where is the promise of its coming?" Scoffing at the prophecies of the Word of God. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus said he would come back. Paul expected Jesus to come back in his lifetime. So 2,000 years later, we will have scoffers saying, "Where's Jesus? Why hasn't he come back yet?" And sure enough, we have it. "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." And if you look at Luke chapter 12, Jesus actually predicted that this would happen. Luke chapter 12 in verse 45, in one of his parables that he told here in Luke chapter 12. So in this parable, as he's explaining it to Peter, notice verse 45, "But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken." So in the, even in the parable, of course, this servant is talking about God's servants. There would come a time when they would say, well, obviously Jesus isn't coming back, so we can just basically not worry about him coming back and do whatever we want. Scoffers. And we find ourselves in the midst of that. But I like what Peter said in verse 5. He said, "For this they willingly are ignorant of." And what in the world does that mean? It means they want to be ignorant. It's a choice. And this is really the root cause of most of the problems in the world today, is people are willingly ignorant of the existence of God. They don't want to accept that there could be a God, even though God has made it so clear that there's a creator by looking at creation. And the Bible tells us because of that, we're without excuse, right? Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And so what Peter's saying is that this is a choice. It's not that people say, well, I don't believe there's a God because that's just what my heart tells me. No, they're saying, I don't believe there's a God because I don't want to believe there's a God. It's a choice. They're willingly ignorant of the existence of God. Notice Romans 1:20. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." God said this. "Being understood by the things that are made," that's us, "even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We can look at creation and know there was a creator. We can look at the design of creation and know there was a designer. And when people choose to say there can't be a God, they're making a willful choice to be ignorant of what creation tells them and of what their own heart tells them. Because God put within each one of us, look down in verse 28 of Romans 1, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. They make a choice to be willingly ignorant of the existence of God. And then notice Hebrews 11. The Bible tells us very clearly that creation reveals to us that there is a God, and through faith we believe the word of God is true. But creation's part of that. Notice Hebrews 11:3. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." God is a spirit. We can't see God with our eyes, but God made everything. By faith, we believe the Bible was true and that God made everything and that the worlds were framed by who? Jesus, the Word of God. We know that's true because God told us it's true. But the world says, no, I'm going to be willfully ignorant of this. I'm going to willfully decide there can't be a God, because as soon as I acknowledge that there might be a God, and now I have to be accountable to that God. So it's much easier to just keep God out of the picture so man can just do whatever he wants and say, well, I don't have to worry about a judgment because there's no God, therefore there's no judgment, there's no eternity. We're just animals, hence evolution. And it's a choice, especially scientists who keep telling us that things are millions of years old and it all started with the Big Bang. This is a choice, because if they really looked, they would know what science was telling them, that there was a creator. But it's a choice. They're willingly ignorant. Notice verse 6 or verse 5. "And the earth standing out of the water and in the water." Now this here is an interesting phrase. What in the world is this talking about? I think it's talking about the pre-flood world. You know, the Bible seems to teach that before the flood, there was a canopy of water above the earth, as much as on the earth. That's in Genesis chapter 1. Let's look there. And I'm guessing that this canopy might have had something to do with the longer lifespan, but that's just a guess. Maybe it helped protect man from the dangers of the sun. But notice Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Waters above the firmament. Yes, brother.
Firmament is referring to the
air. Right, exactly. So it's implying that there was this canopy of water surrounding the earth prior to the flood, and that's probably where all the extra water came from to create the flood, because there was only so much water available. So it all collapsed, and what happened after the flood? Men lived shorter. Lifespan, slowly but surely, man's lifespans got shorter and shorter and shorter. And this is talking about the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And then while you're at it, look at Genesis 7, which is talking about the flood. It says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Now that's written as if it's something that was kind of new. Like maybe it didn't rain prior to the flood. You know, you read in the Garden of Eden about how there was always this mist. So maybe rain was a new thing, a post-flood thing. That before that, there was always water up above. But it collapsed. And the Bible says not only did the water come from the fountains of the deep, but the windows of heaven were opened. So God told us all this and said it all occurred, but the world would rather be ignorant of it and say there's no way there was a flood. There's no way that God made all this. There's no way that there is even a God. And so it says, of course, verse 6, the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. So if we're going to believe the Bible, we have to believe there was a worldwide flood. If we're going to believe the Bible, we have to believe that God made everything. That we didn't come from a big bang, that there haven't been millions of years. It's a choice. Do we believe God, or do we make ourselves willingly ignorant of the truth? Which is what the world is choosing to do. So, and then in verse 7, it reminds us that the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire. So, yeah, God promised he would never flood the earth again, but that's because he's going to burn it up the next time. He is going to redo the earth, and that's in verse 10 of our passage, which we'll look at next week as well. But notice verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Look at verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So God's going to burn it all up. Makes you thankful to be saved. The Bible tells us in Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So God's going to burn it all up and make it new. And we don't know what he's going to do after that. He doesn't tell us. But he's going to start over and make a new earth. The world says there is no God. Psalm 53:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, the Bible says, and of abominable iniquity there is none that doeth good. Why does man say there is no God? Because of sin. Because as soon as you admit that there's a God, then you have to admit that there is right and wrong, and you have to admit that you become accountable to that God someday. So man chooses to be willfully ignorant of the fact that there is a God. John, did you raise your hand about something?
In the church of Rome, Paul says in chapter 4, the night is far spent, the day is at hand.
Yes.
Would that suggest we've been in the latter days for about 2,000 years?
Technically, we have been. Because technically, Jesus could have come back at any moment.
It's always intrigued me in that verse.
Mm-hmm. Technically, it's been the latter days since Paul. But we look around and it seems like it's more latter, right? We would all agree that we can see these things even more so coming to pass than they have in history. But Jesus could have come at any time. That's always been true. Otherwise, the imminency falls apart. So isn't it interesting, this phrase, this they willingly are ignorant of. Willingly ignorant. It's a choice to be ignorant about God. To be ignorant about His existence, about His creation, and about where that leads, again, accountability. As soon as you admit there's a God, then you have to become accountable to that God. I mean, look what happens at the pagan cultures that they used to discover. They were always worshiping something. They were always appeasing something. Where did that come from? The Bible says in Romans that we all have a conscience that tells us there is a right and there is a wrong. Where did that conscience come from? Animals don't have it. They go by instinct. But we have it because we are made in the image of God. And that conscience tells us there is a right and there's a wrong. And if there is a right and there's a wrong, who put that there? God did. The world says, no, we don't want there to be a God. So we're going to make up all these crazy theories like evolution and the Big Bang and everything else because we would rather be willfully ignorant of the existence of God. Makes you thankful that you found God. Amen. We just need to keep telling them the good news. Jesus is coming back, and they are going to be accountable. There is going to be a judgment. So are they ready? Willfully ignorant. Let's pray. Lord, thank you.